You have to hit the gavel three times.
I'm going to. You just will. Okay, so let's call the meeting, the Board of Adjustment meeting to order on Tuesday, November 27th at 5:43 PM. A lot of presentation by Chandler.
Yeah, okay. The applicant, Emily Lottie, is in attendance. So where I go off, where I diverge, just shoot your hand up in the air and correct me, okay?
Sure.
Okay, so I prepared a couple of things to just kind of illustrate the situation here on this property. So I think there's, in my mind, there's three challenges that need to be discussed. So take that, that's done. So I did some arts and crafts today, and this is the result. And then I actually went down and walked behind your house today and took some photos. So you took that as well.
Thank you.
This is what. That's all right. So this piece of property is located on Canyon Road. As you're driving south, it's the very last piece of property. It's sandwiched in between the Murdoch Canal Trail and the Canyon Road. And it's been, people have, over the years, this could be kind of a brief history of the piece. Over the years, I've had a number of developers come and ask what they can do with the property. I recently met with a number of people who wanted to put 5 homes on it. And
how many acres is that?
It's
roughly, I think that second parcel that you're looking at in the picture is about 1.44.
So it's decently big, and it's by itself, it would be it's a nice piece, but I'll talk about some of the challenges of it. I even had a call maybe a year ago, a year and a half ago, about somebody wanting to put apartments on it. I told them they should probably go drive by the piece before they love it. Because it's not zoned. There's some challenges with the land as it lays that are unique to this piece. So let me just kind of outline what those are. There is that Murdoch Canal Trail has an easement that runs into all of the adjacent properties. So if you were to look at an aerial view of the canal going north from this piece, you find that a lot of these backyards, as it turns and heads west towards Deerville Elementary, they don't have decks off the back of their yard, off the back of their homes. They don't have trees in their backyard because this easement will not allow anything to occur.
And that's the Murdoch?
That's the Murdoch Canal easement. Yeah.
And how is the setback from the easement?
There's 50 feet from the property line, I believe. So it goes pretty deep into the property. And in this case, it might actually go deeper because I believe it's not 50 feet from the property line. I'm going to correct myself. I believe it's 50 feet in the center line of the pipe. So I'm showing 50 feet from the property line. That's that purple hash that goes north-south. Sorry, it's the orange one that kind of connects with the canal. Then there are two sets of code that the Cedar Hills has that present this or created a different kind of challenge for them. So that's off the back. The other two codes are off are setbacks off the front that present some development challenges.
Front meaning east?
Front meaning east, yes, the front setback. So the 75 feet there, that's because there's not a main dwelling on the property. Our code dictates that when there's not a main dwelling on the property, any accessory building has to be 75, located 75 feet from the front set, from the front property line. So that purple line that goes north south, that's the 75 feet throughout that property line. The 80 feet, there's also code adjacent, or homes adjacent to Canyon Road that they have to be set back 80 feet from the center line of Canyon Road. So if you take in two setbacks and the easement off the back, there is left in the color of line. There's a little triangle here where you can put something.
Did you bring that over?
Yeah. It's this kind of negative space right here.
That's the only buildable envelope.
That's the only buildable envelope. Which leads me to my next exhibit, which is the pictures. And that's what it looks like. It's sloped. Right. Anyway, it's sloped there, and there's not a chance that the easement folk will allow them to break that. Because if they don't let a tree go on their easement, they're not going to let you put in any machinery and sell that or break that. Anyway, so Mrs. Lottie has made application for the Board of Adjustment to get a pole barn, a loafing shed, which is called in the request. 12 by 20, it's a very small structure. But it's for the horses. This is a horse property. It's zoned as a horse property. And so what they want to do is put this 12 by 20 pole barn on the property, 75 feet, and she's identifying the 75 feet from the road is not feasible. It's not closer to easement area. Also 80 feet from center line of the canyon also doesn't work. So if you're to look at the worksheet of the conditions that must be met.
And just, I'm sorry to interrupt, but quick question. If what portion of the property is the structure intended to be built?
It would be, yeah, that's a good question.
Northeast corner?
It's going to be up in the northeast corner. So we're talking on my diagram, roughly where maybe the 80 line is, the black line. Is that correct?
Yeah, there's a little part of that parcel that is designated for our use. It's like a side yard and then the horse fence starts. And the loafing shed is just going to, the idea is to put it in that northeast corner behind the fence line, right up against the fence line. So, the earth kind of goes up to the fence line, you know what I mean? So the barn just kind of right there in the corner.
This property, as you go from east to west, it drops significantly from Canada over to the property, and that's significantly again. Yeah.
It's a really weird property.
it's got an interesting topography. Anyway, so the variance, and I'll let you guys get into the various conditions, but the variance is we're not going to be able to, you guys cannot dictate the easement to Salt Lake Sandy and eventually to whoever users. So really the variance is for that 75 feet and the 80 feet of this loafing shed's pole barn in that area.
What is staff's recommendation?
I recommend that this be passed because this is the highest and best use of the land. There is nothing else that can happen. It is not a piece of property that has any zoning associated with it for the single family dwellings. It is designated as a horse property. So it seems to me that if you have a horse property, doing something like this should go with the territory. So that's my recommendation. To me, this is the race.
Real quick, that 80 foot,
yep.
Is that county requirement or
city? It's city.
So,
both
is city. Do this is Pleasant Grove because do they have that same 80 foot setback?
I have not seen it. I've never bothered to look. But I don't know what they do.
Is the purpose of that, I'm assuming that's a public safety, correct?
It's, no, it's simply just, it's established in code, or it's under written down. It's 10, 514. So if I were to open that code and read that, just a second. It's under setback of buildings from proposed streets. And it reads, for the purposes of compliance with this requirement, all structures on lots that butt upon Canyon Road shall be set back not less than 80 feet from the center line of said road. There's not given a reason for that.
What do you anticipate, given your experience, the intent of that language is?
To keep the road open, side triangles visible. Just allowing for some visibility on it. If you've driven down the road at night, which I'm sure you have earlier, it's fairly dark.
Yeah.
And I've actually been there on the road. So I think it's a matter of safety. But if you think about the structure being proposed, a pole barn that sits much lower than Canyon Road, so it's not like a house that's being single family dwelling that's being proposed. Right up next to it, it's going to be causing some site triangle issues.
So, I guess essentially, all the trees and shrubs and stuff over there.
these marks. And her property is actually fairly clear. I know there's some trees, but they're well within the property. But other than that, it's a fairly clear property. There's not really any. By the time I'm driving home, if I get to that point, I'm pretty confident I'm not going to hit a deer. It's really more up towards Jens Watson that I'd be worried about. I'm to the fire station.
So line of sight, if I'm driving southbound on Canyon Road, line of sight, what impact, if any, will this structure have?
None. We're looking at line of sight. We're looking at it going around the corners. So we're looking at the point of curvature, and then going 45 feet back on both directions. And then within that triangle, if you can kind of picture that, that's your line of sight. This doesn't sit on the corner, so you're not impeding any line of sight.
Can you show, sorry, one more time, where it would fall?
We're looking at the fence here, so we're looking at it.
It's not way up here, it's just to that there. Okay, and you don't, I mean, again, since it's Canyon Road and it's county, you don't.
It's outside of the county, right?
They don't, okay.
It's outside of their jurisdiction. It's outside of Pleasant Grove's jurisdiction. So we're not needing any special permission.
I would just hate to grant permission.
The only way that we would need special permission from the county is if we were trying to prove an additional access onto the road. That's not the access actually comes from the road from the actual where the secret property is. So there's an access heading south into this property, so there's not anything coming off the canyon.
Are there any other questions?
Thank you for preparing.
Yes.
Do you want us to go through each of these?
Yeah, if you would, I think that would be beneficial.
Do you have anything you'd like to add? Comments?
Not really, except for, when we moved to this property, I don't think we realized, what impact those easements had on the property. We knew, they told us that you can't really build homes on it or anything like sell it as individual lots. I think that, I've looked and as far as our usage in order to get any kind of shelter for our animals, it's like the only place that makes any sense to put it. Especially because loafing sheds, especially through here in this area, they all have to really be pointed south to be successful shelters because of the way that the wind blows. Any other direction I faced it or anything, it just doesn't, it loses all of its effectiveness. So, and that's the further south you go on the property, there's a fence line that divides it. So there's like two small pastures. At the back, we want to keep totally clear of the south part. We want to keep totally clear of everything so we can use it sort of as an arena and a place to ride on the property. Have visitors who we don't trust out on the trail or whatever, so it's just a really limited.
And is your home the property just to the north?
Yeah. So there's really nobody else's property that it affects in any way.
Okay. Are there special circumstances attached to the property that do not generally apply to other properties in the same district?
Yes.
This is easement restricted. Two sides.
Okay. Three. So are you guys with the SL5 waterways? Okay. It only looks for one easement then.
And I wouldn't even call the city's easements, I would call them setback restrictions. Yeah. So with the easements on one side and setback restrictions on the other, you're left with the very narrow, ugly building.
So, Madam Chair, for the clarification of the record, I think it needs to say the easement and the setback
restrictions. I agree.
we have that added?
Yeah.
Okay. All right, so, let's see, that's number two. Number three, do those circumstances in two cause an unreasonable hardship on the applicant denying use of the property to others in the same district injury or appreciate the right to access?
I think if it's, the letter of the law is held here, it renders the proper uses.
Okay, and then number four, is a variance essential to a substantial property right?
Well, I mean, I looked at the zoning of, you know, permitted uses and having horses and stuff on the properties for use. If you can't have a place to keep them out of the windy cold, you can't have horses. So, that is good. But I'd say the answer is yes.
And I think maybe the references, what's that?
I agree.
Really, the only property right that's guaranteed on the property is it's a horse property. Pretty much it.
Okay, and well, let's see, number five, will granting variance substantially affect the goals of the general plan or be contrary to the public interest? The answer must be no.
No, I think by virtue of all the things we've previously discussed, and also the fact that they are the property conversion of the single family residential home to the north, I don't think there's going to be any adverse effect or prejudice to anyone.
Real quick, the it will be neat and tidy and expected. Is it inspected or what? I didn't quite follow that.
It'll
yeah, be more I didn't know exactly what that was.
Yeah, I worry about that too.
Neat and tidy.
As expected.
Yeah. Or, well, I thought we're expected, like maybe to.
We don't expect them.
That's sorry, let's see.
How would you know?
It's the last line.
I'm going to add that to
I think that must have been as. I think
okay.
It was probably just
as expected.
As.
Okay. Okay, it's expected on this property. Okay, we good on that one?
Yeah,
yes.
Well, I guess what I was going for is we don't plan on putting any old, dilapidated vehicles or anything.
I was just going to say the first time I went by it a few weeks ago in the open Canyon Road, I didn't even recommend it. You guys didn't want to go work it. It looks much better.
I'm going to go look.
Yeah,
that's great.
Yard.
Improving the property values of everyone around you by taking care of your property and having private ownership makes a huge difference, and we do appreciate it.
Okay, the last one, six, is the spirit of the zoning ordinance observed and is the board being fair to all involved? The answer must be yes.
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 All right, well, we've covered all of it, so if there isn't any further discussion, we can make a motion.
Madam Chair, I have a motion. Which
can I have one thing? I just think that it's probably going to be treating this like a main dwelling. Like, so it could be the main dwelling setbacks. What is it? So it could be home. If you were to build a home, let's say that they can build a home. It could be any closer than that home. It could be. Basically, you're creating a building envelope that would meet the same building envelope as a single family dwelling.
What is that consumer code?
It's 80 foot.
Perfect. It's not 80 foot. We're going to waive that 80 foot. So it looks at 30 feet of the property.
So clarify, I'm confused. Clarify what you're saying. So by approving this variance, you're saying that someone could.
Well, I'm saying that it might be helpful to staff to know exactly, because you wouldn't allow a building to be set right up next to your front property, right? It has to be set back a little bit. So we're saying that this has to follow the same setback requirements as the main building would be, other than the 8 feet.
So that needs to be in the motion, whoever starts that, I don't know if you guys.
But needless to say, it would take that building envelope and open it wide up, like, so she could put this little shed just behind the property other than decreasing the tower. and then right up against the right against the.
So what setback are you not required in that?
Setback of the zone.
Setback of the zone.
I would just say the setback, the underlying. The underlying setbacks for a main residential building are 15,000 zone. I'd also say that it should supersede 10-5-14 requirements and the requirements coming 10-14-6. That's the setback.
10-4?
10-4B-6.
And for purposes of order and public records, so could the motion be made to accept the variance as written in the request? Because those are the records.
I think that one of the things that I'd be concerned about is that the way it's written is that Emily has identified the 75-foot setback restriction that is problematic, but there's also the 80-foot one that's also problematic. So we want to identify both of them. That way, when there's an application, it's only going to be very specific, 5 feet, not the BDP. So jokes on you. Not cool. So we want to be able to make sure that when she goes to go get an application for building for the loping shed, it's a seamless process and there's no hangups in the zoning or building department.
Just to include that thing that I wasn't aware of,
yeah.
That 80.
So yeah, so that's the reference I gave Colleen was the 10-5-14, that's the 80 feet. And then the 10-4B-6 is the 75 feet restrictions. Those are the ones we're saying we're not going to adhere to those for this property. Hold on. 3 feet lets you edge a building about right there.
Well, it has to be, there still has to be, so from our plan, like, our plan was just kind of put it right there about where the embankment, where the earth goes up the fences, because the gate of the horse pasture is right there, and it really just fits right there.
So maybe rather than.
Because it's not that green dotted line.
It puts it just, I would say, to the east of the green dotted line. But the thing that I think you have to consider is two things. It's a pole barn, so it's a very small structure to begin with. It also sits down below the road.
Yes, sure. Yeah.
And as far as pulling it a little bit in, it would be difficult because our hydrant for our water, the watering horses, is right there next to the gate. They can see that natural little. Kind of track trail goes through the gate to the horse pasture. It comes out of that, and then there's the hydrant is just to the east of it. And so we water our horses, and it would be right next to the barn, right up against the embankment that goes up to the fence near the road. Even.
To clarify, is the fence on the east the red line? Is that the current?
Yes, that's where the fence is. It's just up against that shoulder.
And the fence line is not being modified, correct?
No. The fence has never been part of the main proposal.
No.
You put new fence in.
Maybe do this then, that the loading shed will be located within the current fencing. So that puts it where it needs to go, but it also still restricts it in a way that it's not going to go.
So really quick, I don't have the ordinance in front of me that you've referenced, either of them.
Okay.
I'd like to just...
Don't read them?
Yeah, if you would, okay. Just for the record.
That's no problem.
And I'm sorry.
No, nope, you're good.
I'm sorry to be a pain, that's just...
No, it's okay. I want it to be done right so that
we have some activists in the community that if it's not done correctly...
Hey, I've lived in HOAs before, I understand. You know?
So...
Some people are just...
Some people are fine.
Particular.
So the first code section.
Let me read. I'm opening on my phone to the one. 10-4B-6.
And which one is
this?
10-4B-6B1 is the actual reference. is the full reference.
And this is the 75 foot easement.
Yes, and it says when where no main building exists on a lot, a detached accessory building shall be set back not less than 75 feet from the front lot line.
Okay.
The other one is. It's 10-5-14, and it's the title or the section is called Setback of Buildings from Proposed Streets. The latter half of that reads, for the purposes of compliance with this requirement, all structures on lots that abut on Canyon Road shall be set back not less than 80 feet from the center line of said road.
And then the pole barn to be constructed within the existing fencing area. Probably.
Oh, no, it might not. Let me go back.
Accessory structure because there's separate parcels.
Right. So there's not a main dwelling that is associated with itself putting up a pool house. Yeah.
So accessory structure doesn't apply.
That's why I was thinking about the main building, but I don't think that necessarily accomplishes the aim that we're going for here. So I'm trying to think of a way to do that. It's an interior lot.
Deal with the fence line, the lot line, the property line instead of making reference to the
40
main structure.
Let's say that again.
Use the property line as here, instead of, since there's no main structure, we're going to reference according to that code, it's using that language.
Maybe it's just a condition, so rather than a setback, it's that proposed building shall not compete. Views should be set back in a manner that does not obstruct cycling distances. I think that's the condition. It's a safety condition. That way we can work with the property owner to put the building somewhere they need to accomplish that end. Because quite frankly, I don't really care if it's closer than the main building. Just trying to get something, some justification for when the application goes through that there's something I can point to saying,
and is that section of Canyon Road still county or did Pleasant Grove take over that?
Oh, now you're testing me.
That easement is off that road. Just want to make sure nobody's going to come to them and be like, oh, guess what?
Yeah,
Pleasant Grove owns it and they're wanting to tear it down.
It's our section.
So technically, county's still in, right?
It's a county road, but like I said, that
but
all,
it's in our,
everything,
okay.
That section of the road is in our jurisdiction, but it's a county road, but this is all outside the right of way of the county. So that, right there.
Yeah.
Let me pull up an area a little faster. Try to see how far away. Wait, far are you going to land faster? This where it is the closest
building.
How about this? How about this? I think I got my name here.
This picture shows pretty well how we measure it with feet.
Okay. Yeah. I'm going back to my code here. I think I've got a solution.
That's why you make the big bucks.
Did you catch that one, Tommy?
Okay. So here's something I think.
Some things you have to leave out.
Is that right now we're treating this as the front setback. Mm-hmm. We treat this as the front setback and determine that all setbacks should be measured as if this is the front setback. So that way it's measured, it's 30. She's showing 50 feet off of the property line of the north. So basically this is the front, these are the sides. That gives her the ability to kind of govern.
So just in the motion, we just say that
For purposes of locating the building, the north property line will be determined to be the front setback.
It looks like from our measurements, the building kind of starts about 7 feet from where that fence line is.
Yeah.
So against the road.
On her kind of diagram, she's showing 50 feet from south of the property line, which is well within that 30 feet of the dwelling. But an accessory building that zone can be 5 feet within the property line. So if you're saying that this adjacent to Canyon Road is the side setback with 5 feet, she shows 7. I think that accomplishes the aim of puts it in the way. But I would still ask for the provision that it cannot pose a hazard.
Madam Chair, I propose a motion on this variance. It is a 4-part motion. Part one, approving the request for variance to Cedar Hill Zoning Ordinance Section 10-4B as in Bravo, 6B as in Bravo 1, regarding the 75-foot easement. Second, that the variance request for modification on, a variance to Cedar Hill Zoning Ordinance 10-5-14 regarding the 80-foot street setback be approved. Third, that any structure built on the property related to the pole barn shall not impede any views, line of sight, or create any safety issues. And four, that for purposes of siting the structure, the north property line of the parcel shall be considered the front setback, and the east property line shall be considered the side setback.
Second that motion.
All in favor of the motion?
Aye. Congratulations.
I will write something up and have you sign it. It's true.
Thank you.
Alright, do
you have anything
else? Or? Make sure that you RSVP for the Christmas party.
Is there any question we adjourn?
Okay,
good question.
I second.
Okay.
Alright, question adjourned.